You should never stop recording when I'm in the room because we make magic happen.
I know. Well, all of a sudden we trip over a diamond the size of a dog and you go, we weren't talking about it. So I want to back up and say and get you to tell me this story again about one of your clients.
One of our clients, yeah. So basically talking about personal brand, company brand, all of that, we have clients who have successfully branded their company amazingly well as the two co-founders over the years. They've been doing this for years and tons of clients coming in. Now they've grown their team because they have all of these sales and they need to be able to help their clients. But everyone that's coming in only wants to work with the two co-founders because they're the ones who are the face of the brand. They're the ones that have been out there for years. And so they're having difficulty with their new staff they've hired, getting them at full capacity because everyone who's coming in wants to work with the two co-founders who are the brand.
This is a problem that ad agencies have had forever. The person who made the reputation for the ad agency is not the person who's actually writing the copy or designing the ads or whatever. And the way that they transfer that is, and a lot of agencies do it really poorly, but the best ones do that by doing a serious handoff over time.
Yep.
So let's say that you engage with me as an ad agency. The first five meetings, I'm going to be there. But then it's, you know, after the kind of strategy level stuff is, is nailed, it's going to get into the executional stuff like, we have to have five Instagram posts every 2 weeks or stuff like that. Do you really expect dad to be worrying about that or mom to be worrying about that when it could easily be done by one of the kids?
Totally.
As long as the kids adhere to the quality and the client knows that mom and dad are overlooking the work as it's done in real time to the point where if a problem comes up, they're the ones on the phone explaining it, talking it through and coming up with a solution.
Right. And I think it's also what we talked about of you can't just bring staff on and expect them to just go and perform. You have to get clear on what are your values that you've built this business on and that you want to continue to build this business on and communicating that, those values to your employees, but then also helping them to manifest those values in their behavior because that's ultimately what's building your culture. It's what's building your brand is these actions.
Kind of step one in the process that you're describing is screening very, very carefully for whoever you bring on. I'm thinking of a company in town here that deals in a very sophisticated area of technology, and they don't hire just computer science degrees or things like that. They hire art history majors.
Right.
They hire finance people. They hire CPAs. They do all these different things because they're hiring for smarts. They're hiring for experience. They're hiring for the type of person to fit their mold. And they have a very clear mold. In fact, they put people through a battery of psychology tests or psychological tests before they make any type of offer.
This sounds like a very epic company.
Oh, yeah. Well, it kind of does, doesn't it? Inside joke for Madison, Wisconsin people. But it's true. I mean, their number one concern is not what did you learn? What did you get your degree in? Their number one concern is what type of person are you?
And I think that that's huge for people to think about when they're hiring is you're not just looking for someone to do the skill set that you need. You are looking for values. You are looking for behaviors. If you're a company that needs strong communication, you're not just looking for what this person's done in their past or what they have on their resume. You're looking, how do they communicate? How did they communicate in the interview with you? How did they make you feel? How did they communicate via email? Like, you need to be looking at more than just what have they done. You need to know, can they do the job that you need them to do?
As you can tell from her voice, I'm talking again with Leah Rowe, my good buddy.
Hey, everyone.
And we're talking about branding. We're talking about culture. We're talking about sustaining and scaling a business. We're talking about, should I be sustaining and scaling my business? Or is it okay if my personal brand is just me? Because I'm here to tell you, I'm not interested in scaling my personal brand.
Why?
Because I don't want to hire people. I'm at the, for you listeners out there who may not know, I'm a little bit older than you by not years, but decades. And I've reached the part of my career, I call them the Yoda years, where I'm okay with not being a Luke Skywalker, but I totally love having Luke Skywalker make the trip over to Dagobah to learn a little bit of Jedi magic in the swamps. And by the way, I am not your father. So for my personal brand, I want to make sure it's absolutely true to me, what I love to say, to be completely true and completely you. That's what a good personal brand's all about. I'll also give you another bumper sticker with a TM on the end.
Perfect.
Your value plus your values equal your brand or your personal brand.
Whoa. Wait a minute. So what's your value?
My value is, one, I'm a copywriter and a creative director. So part of the value I offer you is quality of copywriting and quality of creative direction.
So it's your skills?
Direction.
It's what you can do?
Yeah, it can be the reason why you cross the street to come to my store and not go to the cheaper one that's right next to you.
So it's what makes you unique or different, or it's your special sauce?
Yeah. I don't think of it as special sauce, because sauce can be poured on anything.
Sure.
It's your special personal recipe of who you are.
Okay.
And what you do and how you do it. So my value to you might be the fact that the whole last episode we were talking about your brand.
Yep.
Or brands. Like, what's the difference between Leah Rowe, the brand, and Leah Rowe, the purveyor of a number of products? So again, let's talk that through. And so you really understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What are you?
Honestly, I'd like to know, should I just be marketing with my personal brand? Like, if everything is like, you know, my coaching and all this stuff, should I just go full in on me and not have like, you know, the Instagram and whatever with my business?
I think there's value to that, because one of your products, and by the way, I'll change the word you said from business to product.
Yeah.
Should I go all in with my product?
Correct.
If your product is mymaternityleavecoach.com.
Your maternity leave coach.
Oh, sorry. Well,
I'm not my maternity leave coach. Right. I'm your maternity leave coach.
Well, let's talk about that. Your mymaternityleavecoach.com is a product brought
it's
to you
product.
By Leah Rowe.
Yes.
So describe that product for us for a second.
Yeah. So I am a life and business coach, but I have a product in maternity leave coaching. So working with women from considering a baby and wanting to still have a career, to being pregnant and still wanting a career, to having a baby and wanting to get back into their career. So it's life coaching and business coaching, very specified for women at this stage in their life.
Well, and let me tell you from my point of view why this came about. And I've heard part of the story from you previously, mm-hmm. so I'm going to fold that in. But
totally.
It's also based on what I'm seeing you do via social media feeds, specifically Instagram, things like
yeah.
that. When you had your very first baby, the
yep.
lovely and talented Betty Pearl.
She's amazing.
That's right. You, within, I want to say hours, but it was probably more like days or a couple of weeks, you were on the road with her. Not
mm-hmm.
just to grandma's house, not just to show the family, but didn't you go to Glacier National Park?
We went to Zion
okay,
National
Zion.
Park when
yeah.
she was 8 weeks old. But yes, we started traveling with her right away. A big thing that Dan and I want to teach our children is to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because life is not comfortable.
Boom. That's a great line of copy right there for your maternity leave coach website
yeah.
and for your whenever you talk about it. And as kind of a founding, grounding idea for your employees to embrace.
Totally.
So,
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Oh, no, exactly. You got to put that down. You got to codify it into a document so that that document can be shared and enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to your years as an HR pro,
yeah.
you know that when that dreaded annual review comes around, or however you do your employee reviews, KPIs are going to come up, key performance indicators.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's based on what we agreed to last time.
Yep.
Like, we agreed that you habitually come to work 10 minutes late. I would like you to be here 10 minutes early or on time. Have you done that? Yes, no. It's a binary choice. Yes, no. You have. Great. You've gotten better. Boom. That's no longer a KPI we have to worry about. Let's have another KPI in there that's related to how quickly you respond to clients or something like that.
Yeah.
You have to have those things written on paper so that it's not my memory of what we talked about last year or your memory about what we talked about last year, but what the paper we both signed. Right. Documentation.
Mm-hmm.
That is necessary, because right now, a lot of people think they have a brand, and what they have is a loose understanding of kind of where we fit in the marketplace,
yeah.
typically against our competitors.
Sure.
That's good to know where you fit against your competitors. But that's not the most important thing. Knowing, dare I say, who you are so you can be it is the most important thing. And you have to put that on paper.
So you have to codify it. How would one do that?
Well, there are a number of ways to do that. One is to join the Nonfiction Brandversity free Facebook group, because I just am starting.
It's free.
It's free. And I'm just starting a new video series on it called Same Page Live, where I take one of the worksheets that I use in my person-to-person workshop, and we're going to share it, and I'm going to walk you through it.
That's fantastic.
So the first one is literally asking five questions to help you start defining and codifying, or codifying, I don't know how you pronounce it, your personal brand. Questions like, what absolutely legal thing to do in your specific area of business will you not do? That's a question. Ooh, like in my case, it's, I worked in advertising. Mm-hmm. I never worked on tobacco for personal reasons. I think they're pretty obvious, but I chose not to do that. It's perfectly legal to do it, but I won't do it, because what you don't do is as big a part of
just
you
as, important as what you do. Yes, I say that all the time. And I say that to my companies that I coach in culture is, you need to figure out what your culture is, what you stand for, what your values are, but you also need to start talking about what are the things that you don't do and why. Because knowing why you do what you do is just as important as knowing why you don't do what you don't do.
There are tons of stories out there about companies that have a high-performing, typically salesperson, who goes out there and brings in record numbers of people, but they come back to the office and they're absolutely toxic to the people back at the office. Mm-hmm. Like they're the big dog, so they love to bark and chew on people, you know, when they get back. And good C-suites, somebody, the owner, the CEO, says, you know what? I love the fact that you sell like crazy. I hate the fact that you're not culturally a fit for us, so I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Totally.
And you're getting rid of your best player? Well, there have been plenty of pro sports teams that have gotten rid of their best player because they were absolutely toxic in the clubhouse.
Totally. And there have been plenty of sports teams that have kept on players that are completely, that are really toxic. And that also shows what their brand and their culture is.
Exactly. So, and I use sports teams a lot. The funny thing is, I don't follow sports.
Me neither.
I don't. But it's so pervasive in our culture.
Did you just hear when I fumbled through that? I'm like, there's a sports person who's a part of the club.
Yeah. And ball.
And then they tried to score that thing and let's not do sports.
But I will say that sports is so pervasive in our culture that it's really a good thing to use for a metaphor,
sure,
especially when it comes to branding. Because let's take a look at football, right?
Okay, because we're experts in it.
Well, no, we're not. But we're experts in distilling down into the core and saying, hey, guess what, think about this. The team that won the Super Bowl is playing the same game with the same rules and the same equipment and the same everything as the team that came in last in the league.
Yep.
Why did they win when we're doing the same
thing? Because they deflated the footballs.
Well, okay. New England fans, please forgive us. Don't unsubscribe.
Deflategate.
But my point is that they're playing the exact same game, plus or minus 2% of, you know, maybe not cool stuff to do. And yet, if I say the name of a football team and say, okay, I'd like to do this example. On the nightly news, you hear about a marquee quarterback being taken out of the game and maybe out of his career by a cheap late hit by a defensive player.
Okay.
What team did it? Oakland Raiders or the Dallas Cowboys? Now, anyone who watches football knows that the Oakland Raiders, or whatever they're called now, the LA Raiders, where are they now? I don't even know. Does it matter? No, because their brand is not based on where they are. It's based on their smash mouth style of football. They are a little bit dirty players, and their fans who choose to align with them love that about them.
Mm.
Meanwhile, let me ask another question. Same two teams. The airmen and women at Bagram Air Force Base are sitting down for a full banquet meal and watching what team? The Raiders, the Cowboys. Well, the answer is typically the Dallas Cowboys. Why? Because they're America's team.
Mm.
Guess what? Why are they called America's team? I actually looked this up because I'm that kind of Google geek. It came out because in the 80s, the NFL films guys, the guys who go, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
That they came out with a film for every team, and the title of the film they came out with for the Dallas Cowboys was America's Team.
Interesting.
They are the team that all America can root for. So airmen and women, sailors, army folks, you name it, all around the world, the Cowboys represent America. Mm. Now, I don't agree with that because, of course, we're located in Wisconsin. And we know that the Wisconsin team is the Green Bay Packers.
But I'm from Chicago, so I'm actually a Chicago Bears fan.
Oh, that means we will be arm wrestling.
And also, I don't know how anyone couldn't be a Chicago Bears fan because has everyone seen the Super Bowl shuffle? Like, how can you watch that video and not be like, yep, that's my team?
Well, I'm going to take it right. I'm going to take it right back to that because they were the first team to do something like that.
Yep.
And they were, you know, making a run at the Super Bowl. And I was in Chicago at the time.
Yeah.
The place was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody jumped on board that. And so many teams tried to rip it off and stuff like that. And it never really worked because it was never really good as having Walter Payton lamely, you know, try to dance.
So good. Oh, it's such a classic.
But it became a brand thing that endeared them to their fans like no other. It was a personal representation of the relationship of Bears fans to the Bears. It just, you know, that's what builds fans for life.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
But let's get back to the main question you were asking about.
What was that question?
Well, it was going all the way back to, let's get back to your specific businesses.
Yeah.
Or let's talk the difference between brand and product.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. I love that.
Okay.
Because, when I sat down today, I said, before we started recording, I said, DP, I'm struggling with my personal brand and my business brand. And you immediately were like, well, that's not a business brand. That's your product. And then we started recording. So that's a huge question for me. How did you just know that that was a product and what's the difference?
Well, the answer to that is over years of going, this is a product, meaning Martha Stewart, going back to Martha, the beloved Martha, Stewart does everything from textiles to flatware to cookware to food products, you name it, but it's all Martha Stewart. So that pan I'm going to buy in the store, am I looking for a pan or am I looking for something that's maybe blessed? Yeah, and you don't
think like, oh, Martha Stewart is pans.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, Martha Stewart is homemaking and quality and family and connection. Like she is much more than pan.
Right. So if you've got generic pan next to Martha Stewart's pan.
Yeah.
And you have some affiliation with Martha or, some warm feelings toward her. Could that be the difference between you buying generic pan and Martha pan? Absolutely. Otherwise, why would her name be on it? Because the understanding is that she vetted this.
Right.
That she curated this. And there's value in that.
What do you think? What advice do you have? Or maybe we can think of some advice for people of how do you, if you're not comfortable putting your personal brand out there, if that's just not something you're naturally good at, how do you get better at that?
Well, number one is get over it. I hate to say it, but it is. Get over it. Okay, I'll be honest with you. 20 plus years of my career, I was happy with being the unknown engine behind the wall of the agencies I worked for, you know? A very high-performing engine, you know, awards, blah, blah, client happiness, yada, yada, ding, dong. All that stuff. And what happens is if you're the engine, you can be unbolted very easily and replaced by a cheaper, younger, supposedly better.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very subjective judgment, so don't get me started on that. But anyway, you can be unbolted and replaced.
Yep.
One of the many metaphors I use is one based on the sport of NASCAR or car racing.
Again with the sport.
Well, metaphors. Anyway, let's just say it's racing. If you're got a car and you've got fans of that car in NASCAR. Yeah. In that car is a driver. That driver, when they become a big enough winner, they have fans.
Yeah.
That driver gets a bigger, better deal at another car. What happens to that driver's fans when they move from car A to car Z? They go right to the new car.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? I may like a design of a car better, but I like the way this person races. I'm following the personal brand instead of staying with the company that initially had that personal brand.
Yeah. Yes. So getting over it, great. From my perspective too, like working with my clients who are CEOs, founders of companies, a question I like to ask them, because there's always this like discomfort where they're like, I know I need to be out there like with my personal brand or doing things, but it just doesn't feel right. It feels salesy. So really, I ask them, why do you want to have your personal brand out there? Why do you want to tell these stories? Because they all want to, but there's like a wall up of feeling inauthentic. So then I work with them to figure out what feels authentically you. What are these values that you want coming through in your personal brand? And it's so interesting because, for example, with one of my clients, they want to brand themselves out to the community in order to bring in employees, like to attract people to work for them. But really at the base of it, what she wants to do is she wants to put her personal brand out there to inspire other women to start businesses. Like that's really what she ultimately wants to do. And that feels so authentic and true for her. And since she realized that that's really why she's doing this, she has just been killing it that, in her branding.
And that's again, say it with me. Know who you are so you can be it. No, at her core, her desire was not to attract more employees
or to just do it. Don't think that you have to do these things because everyone's saying you have to do it. Take the time to reflect, to tune inward and see, is this something you want to do? Just because you can do something or people say you should, is this something you want to do? And then figure out why do you want to do that and let that drive how you do it.
The reality is that one of the concepts that I think is so helpful for people who are afraid of that self-aggrandizing social media, I'm building my brand and it looks like I'm a narcissist.
Right.
Flip that and say the best way to do it is to make yourself look good by making them look great.
Yeah.
And them could be your employees. Them could be the charitable organizations you work with. Them could be your kids. Them could be your relationship, your family. One of the best ways for a CEO to demonstrate the benefits of a business is to demonstrate the benefits of the business. So if you say one of the things we do is we give unlimited PTO or paid time off, show yourself taking some battery recharging paid time off.
Yes, absolutely.
And guess what? That gives your employees the ability to actually take advantage of that perk of their job.
Absolutely. You have to display the behaviors. You can't just say them.
You know, the old Russian proverb, the fish rots from the head, is absolutely true, but the fish also succeeds from the head or inspires from the head. It's not just all negative.
Yeah.
The head of a business has the power to demonstrate absolutely the way we should be doing stuff. I'm reminded of a executive that I knew who they had a big parking lot.
Yeah.
And he drove a Porsche, which he was very proud of. But he also parked it at the farthest slot from the door.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his way to demonstrate that, yeah, there are perks to working hard and selling well. But the most important people in this business, they get to have the shortest walk to the door.
But really, he just didn't want anyone touching his Porsche.
Well, there was that. You know, there was that. I'll be honest.
So back to like what we were talking about with like a product versus a brand.
Yeah.
So then if I have this website then, yourmaternityleavecoach.com, and if that's a product of mine, should I not have a separate website? Like, should that be under like the coaching that I'm doing, like under Roe & Co or under Leah Roe Co? Like, should that product actually not even exist in a standalone website?
Well, that's a question that you should have with your web people or if you're the web person. These are things that you architecturally will want to know because the way you architect a website or a series of websites can have ramifications down the road.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that being a subdomain of Leah Roe or whatever you want to call your flagship site.
Totally.
Because if I go to Kellogg's.com, the cereal company, am I expecting to see stuff about Fruit Loops or whatever? Probably mentioned, but I'm going there for information about the company, about what, you know, maybe employment, things like that. That's different than the product. If I want to know about the product, I'll look up. And by the way, people don't type in URLs anymore. They go to Google, they type in Fruit Loops, and up comes the Fruit Loops landing page, or that might be a subdomain of Kellogg's.com. So if it were Kellogg's.com/Fruit Loops or something like that. And by the way, I hope Kellogg's makes Fruit Loops. I don't remember. Sorry if I'm getting this wrong. But still, am I going into the store to buy Kellogg's?
No, you're going to buy Fruit Loops.
Right. If I'm a pregnant couple and looking for the type of services you offer with your maternity leave.
Your maternity leave coach.
Yeah, thank you very much. Your maternity. Oh, anyway, what she said, am I looking for Leah Rowe? Not necessarily, because I think of them as infection vectors. You know, okay. It's like, where did I get infected with that product?
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram. I see a picture of you with your baby and your husband in Zion National Park.
Yeah.
Weeks after giving birth, going, oh my God, I want that. And I look up and I see who posted it. It's called Your Maternity Leave Coach.
So then I should have separate.
For your product. Yeah, you need to support your products.
Okay.
But it should always include you being tagged in the photo and, you know, the way the post is written. It's so great to have my brand new baby in a national park. Beautiful yeah. baby, beautiful place, beautiful husband, beautiful life.
I think I was hoping that after this conversation, you would tell me to just have one, to just have my personal, because that just seems easier. It's because it's hard. It's hard to manage both and to decide what goes under when my personal brand is so close to my company brand. It's so hard, or my product brand, I should say, it's so hard to differentiate what I post under each one.
But remember, back in our conversation earlier, you were talking about wanting to sustain and scale your business.
Yep.
Eventually, you're going to have someone who is the head of your maternity leave coach. And they need to have portfolio from you, fully blessed, to run this thing with, you know, with my direction and guidance and participation where you need me. And that's totally. The key thing, where you need me. I don't want to be typing in that Instagram thing. I'll say, here are photos from our vacation. Come up with some stuff and let's have a meeting next week to review them.
Yeah.
Boom. They do that heavy lift, which is the heavy lift.
Mm-hmm.
And then they review it past you. You green light this one, this one, this one, and this one. And then you hand it back to them. And you don't think about when they're scheduled to go. Why? Because that's their job.
That's huge. I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a vertical. It's like a product line. Yeah. I'd never thought of it like that.
Think of it this way from the person you want to hire. You want to hire someone who's like you.
Yeah.
Driven, focused, net entrepreneurial.
Insanely good looking.
Yeah. Well, there's, yeah. Sings like a goddess. No, but you want to hire someone like you.
Yeah.
Are you going to get
on brand for me?
Are you going to get that person if you say, yeah, well, we want to bring you in as social media coordinator? You'll be in charge of working on 5 different products. And, you know, they're spread wide and shallow instead of narrow and deep.
No, I want the narrow and deep.
Exactly. Because they're going to say, oh, that's my baby.
Mm-hmm.
I will own it because mm-hmm. you have given me the right to own it. Maybe right. not in terms of equity, but in terms of this is your baby.
Yeah.
And we're going to raise it together.
Yep.
That's how you get better people. If you want a number cruncher or a keyboard clicker, hire them to work on 25 things at once. If you want someone as good as you, give them one thing and say, it's yours.
Yes.
And that's how
awesome.
And by the way, when you have that model, you can now have product A, product B, product C, product D, and it's still under your Martha Stewart Omni Media banner at yeah. at the bottom. But think of a movie poster.
Okay.
This is another of the thought experiments I like to take people through.
Yeah.
You've got movie posters with an image from the movie.
Yep.
A title.
Mm-hmm.
And names above the title. Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 56.
Yeah.
Then down at the lower right corner is Paramount Studios, Warner Brothers, or something like that. Why?
Yeah.
Because the name above the title is the reason to go to see the film.
Yeah.
Or...
I've also never seen any Mission Impossibles.
Well, you don't need to because they're all the same. Action, baby, action. On the other hand, there are other movie posters. Like, think of Finding Dory. Disney... Pixar, Finding Dory.
Yeah.
The movie poster for that says, name above the title is Disney, Pixar, Finding Dory. And in spite of the fact that it has Ellen DeGeneres, a
yep.
global talent, voicing Amazing. Dory, her name's not on the poster. Why is that? Because the reason to go to the film for a family is, it's Disney and it's Pixar. I'm a dad. If I see Disney Pixar, I say instantly, oh, good. I can take the kids.
It's a kids movie that I'm going to enjoy.
That, exactly. Why? Because Pixar has built that brand. So which are you? Are you Disney Pixar? No, you're Tom Cruise. You're Mission Impossible. You're the name above the title.
I wouldn't say I'm Tom Cruise, but I get what you're saying.
Okay, so you're Scarlett Johansson.
That's fine. Jennifer Lawrence, yeah. Amy Schumer.
Okay, now we're getting into a game I really like to play called The Star Avatar, which we can't really talk about, but we'll tease for the next episode. Because we're at the end of this one. As you can see, Leah and I, once we get rolling, it's like a snowball going downhill. But that said, we got to wrap up this episode. I want to remind you again to join the Nonfiction Brandversity free Facebook group. All you have to do is search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook, ask to join, and you are in. And also like, subscribe, review, and refer this podcast because it helps get the word out about this podcast. And if you find it valuable, we'd love to hear from you. Once again, I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and she is
Leah Rowe.
And we'll talk to you really soon. Bye-bye.